It's time for a new adventure.
Welcome to Adventures in Business, a podcast dedicated to the voices of today's entrepreneurs. Adventure is not just an action, it's an attitude. We will broaden your horizons and understandings of what it's like to be a working person today, in this moment of time on this planet we call Earth.
Welcome back to the Adventures in Business podcast, and we have a true global adventure for you today. We have a great story and an amazing guest who I live vicariously through all of her Facebook posts and social media because she travels the world and has been to so many places. And we are going to talk to the wonderful Kim Barber of Globetrotter Travel. And of course, I'm here with my co-host, Lisa Fisher. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing great, Amy, and I'm super excited to hear Kim's story.
Yeah. How are you doing, Kim?
Great. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. First off, we're just going to talk about kind of your background and how you got into the travel industry and how you started your business and landed yourself where you find yourself today. And just to be clear, you are here in Lansing today, right?
I am Lansing. Indeed. Okay. Indeed. Yes. All right. Yes, I started in the travel industry a little over 12 years ago, started working in college for a tour company, and then also studied travel and tourism through the recreation and hospitality program at Central Michigan University. And after, I guess, towards the end of my degree in college, we had to do cover the last year and do two different internships. So I chose to do mine internationally with tour companies in New Zealand and Australia, which really got me fired up about international travel, but it also made me realize how much I wanted to be home and close to friends and family. So I moved back home and started working for a storefront travel agency for a little while and loved it, learned a lot. And then 6 years ago, decided to go off on my own and launch Globetrotter Travel. So it's been an adventure, but I have 2020 aside, loved every second of it.
So let's go back a little bit, Kim. What gave you the traveling bug?
Yes, that's a good question. Growing up, my family, we traveled, but we mostly did road trips, and which is fine. I love a good road trip. But I hadn't really ever even been on a plane until I was 17. And I did my first big international trip outside of Canada. I did a whirlwind tour through Europe, 7 countries in Europe in 16 days. And that was through band and choir in high school. And that really gave me the travel bug, I think. That opened my eyes. And of course, 7 countries in 16 days, you're not really doing justice to any of the countries you're visiting. And because it was with band, we were performing in each of those countries. So it wasn't really, it gave me a taste of Europe and all the things I wanted to do and see, and not nearly enough time to do it. So I think that was the trip that really had the travel bug bite me. Then I went to college and decided I wanted to study tourism and hospitality.
I love it. What instrument did you play or did you sing?
On that trip, I traveled with a baritone saxophone, which I would not recommend. A flute would have been a much easier instrument to travel with.
I love it. Do you still play your saxophone?
I do not, sadly. My husband is was a music major, and we have a whole room in our basement that is musical instruments, but I never actually owned a baritone saxophone. I rented it. So no, neither one of us really plays too much anymore.
I love it. That is something I did not know about you. Fantastic. What are you most excited about, Kim, now that you're back to traveling and we're, like Amy said, living vicariously through your Facebook posts and the adventures that you've been on? What are you most excited about?
Yeah, I have personally some really great trips coming up that I'm excited about. And I'm excited to see a lot of my clients whose trips have been canceled and postponed 1, 2, 3, 4 times over the last year and a half. Some of them are starting to get to, do the things that they have been postponing repeatedly. So I think most excited for myself personally, I'm heading out on an Alaska cruise at the end of next week. So I'm very excited to get back to Alaska. I really love whales. And so I'm excited to do some whale watching. And just the scenery in Alaska is fantastic. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, so I have had the very good fortune of working with you to help me plan our trip to Germany last year. That didn't happen. That's okay. We're going to go. I know we are going to go still at some point. But talk a little bit about some of the misconceptions that people have in the travel industry and working with a travel agent. I know there's different ways you can work with a travel agent, but you are like, there's no cost to the person that's working with you. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for asking, because that is, yeah, I think people assume that working with an agent is going to cost so much more. I actually met with somebody yesterday who told me that she always assumed working with a travel agent was something only celebrities did, which, I mean, I wouldn't mind. Well, maybe I would. I don't really want to work with divas, I guess, but I wouldn't mind the budget, I guess, that probably celebrities have when it comes to their vacations. But no, you know, every travel agency operates a little bit differently, but my agency does not charge any planning fees, any service fees. Basically, at the simplest form, a travel agent is a commission-based salesperson. So regardless of how you book travel, if you do it online, if you do it directly with the cruise line or the airline, or if you book through a third-party site, there is a commission built into that price regardless of how you book. Now, I like to think we do a lot more than just operate as a commission-based salesperson. We are available before, during, and after travel to help out, answer questions. Unfortunately, sometimes things don't always go smoothly when it comes to travel. So if something were to happen during your trip with a flight cancellation or a delay or something like that, we are there to help navigate that. And it doesn't cost anything extra to you. So I always tell people, you know, the internet is great, a great tool. You can do a lot of research. I actually like it when my clients have done research on the internet, because it's better for someone to come to me and say, here's the destination I'm looking at for my next trip. So like in your case, Amy, Germany, you came to me, you knew you wanted to go to Germany. That was great. Sometimes people come to me and they just start reading off their bucket list. And I'm like, all right, well, let's pick a destination or two for your next trip. And then, you know, we can tackle your bucket list, you know, over the next few years or whatever it is. But ultimately, regardless of how you book, that commission is built in. So I tell people, if you book yourself online, you're paying for a service that you're not getting. If you book with a travel agent, you have someone else handling all of the details for you. You're getting the service that you're paying for anyways. And I'm handling things behind the scenes that you don't ever actually have to know about, like minor schedule changes of a few minutes or major schedule changes that I can go in and find something better. And you don't ever actually have to know that this major schedule change happened. So we save people time, we save them money, and it does not cost extra to work with an agent.
Yeah, that's really good to know. And I think it's a super important distinction to make, that everybody can use a travel agent and can afford to use a travel agent and probably will, you know, in a lot of cases, save themselves some money by using one, because you can get deals and things that we wouldn't know about, or timing, things like that. I mean, you've just incredibly educated me just on thinking about and planning trips and things to look for. So that's been really helpful. Like you mentioned, trips don't always go smoothly and as planned. And I know, because I know you personally, that you are often on hold on your phone for your clients when you're doing other things. And so what's the longest you waited on hold for one of your clients?
That is such a good question. I don't know that I have an exact answer to that, but I will say over the last year with COVID and the hold times being exceptionally long, there were days that I spent 20 hours on the phone of 24 hours, but I guess for maybe one person, like the longest one that comes to mind, I know I was stuck on hold for about 10 hours one day last year with an airline trying to get some resolution for an international trip that had been canceled due to, you know, the country's border shutting down because of COVID. So 10 hours is, I guess, maybe the longest, but 6 to 7 hours is pretty typical. That's a day in the life for me that I would sit on hold.
Oh, and if people think about that, your travel agent's doing that so you don't have to. So that's
exactly, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, one of those things that, you know, and actually I've said, you know, during the pandemic, unfortunately, there were a lot of people who booked with online travel agencies who don't have the, I guess, customer service approach that your individual local travel agent might have. And unfortunately, I've had a lot of people come to me because they can't get through to those agencies and they want help. And because I didn't book it originally, there's not a whole lot I've been able to do. But I can say that I think I've gained quite a few future customers because of my willingness to step in and try and do what I can in those situations. And of course, those people who did have those bad experiences, unfortunately, last year, I think have sort of learned their lesson and said, yeah, now that they understand how a travel agent works and it doesn't cost them any more, that they would much rather, you know, have somebody fighting for them instead of having to tackle those 7 and 8 hour hold times on their own. So yeah, it's definitely, time is money. And, I have 2 different phones. I sit on both of them on hold and I can multitask and get emails done at the same time. So it's just kind of, I'm used to it. That's my daily operation. But for other people who are trying to work a full-time job or parent or do both and teach their kids at home right now, yeah, the last thing you want to do is sit on a 7 hour hold.
And I can attest to having horrible things happen just with flights delays. So let alone having somebody to resolve that for me and take that away from my aches and pains of already going to miss a meeting because of the flight delays.
So right.
Just get me home, Kim. Just get me home. Tell us about the most favorite vacation that you planned for somebody.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. I think the one that comes to mind, unfortunately it got canceled last year, but it will get rebooked. Australia and New Zealand, that combo trip. I feel pretty strongly about it. I have a special place in my heart for New Zealand and Australia because I lived and worked in those countries. And generally that is a once in a lifetime trip for most Americans. It is quite a distance to go. And it is a combo trip because they are so close in proximity. And so I put together this really great itinerary for some clients last year. They had about 4 weeks to travel. So we did about 2.5 in Australia and 1.5 in New Zealand and put together this really great itinerary. I included kind of all of my favorite locations and destinations that I've been fortunate to travel to in those countries. And then as Australia and New Zealand have handled the pandemic much better than a lot of the rest of the world, they shut their borders last year and have yet to reopen them. That trip is just kind of in limbo at the moment. But as soon as those countries reopen their borders, my clients are eager to go and probably be among the first people to go back to Australia and New Zealand when the borders open. So it'll just be a matter of switching their dates and getting new flights. But it was a really fun trip to plan because they had the flexibility in their schedule that not everybody has. You know, most Americans were pretty limited in our time off. So the fact that they had 4 weeks to go, that was fun for me to not have to try and cram everything into 2 weeks, but to be able to really spread out and do justice to both countries.
That sounds like a great trip. That might have to be added to my bucket list. Tell us some secret travel agent, something that the normal people that aren't travel agents wouldn't know about travel or booking or anything, like just an insider tip.
Yeah. I don't know that this is like the most secret, but there is a sort of a rumor out there. And I guess there's some truth to it, that booking travel to fly on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, that is the best day of the week to travel in general when it comes to flight prices. So that's, I guess, not maybe the most insider info. I guess something that more people probably wouldn't know is that working with a travel agent is probably the best way to go about this. But if you package your airfare with hotel and or rental car and or activities, you get access to contracted airfare, which is not accessible on any online website or any even directly with the airline. So for example, Delta Airlines has a subsidiary, Delta Vacations. And if you package your trip, your flight and your hotel with Delta Vacations, often the price will come in lower for the package rate than it would if you just booked the flights on your own. And that mostly happens, I'll tell you, with international flights, but don't expect that to be the most common with like a domestic trip. But I just had a client last month who, her daughter lives in the Netherlands, was getting married. And I believe the wedding was like July 3rd. And up until June 15th, the Netherlands hadn't reopened to Americans yet. So, but she wanted to book in the off chance that they did, because she obviously wanted to make it to her daughter's wedding. And there were 3 adults going, and my client was prepared to pay $10,000 for 3 tickets, which is absurd. But that was the price that she was seeing because the Netherlands was not yet open to international travel. So I went on with a consolidator, packaged her flight with 3 hotel nights, 3 nights is the minimum for some reason, when you do a bundle, came in at about $4,200 for the 3 of them, she was thrilled because, again, she was prepared and anticipating paying $10,000 for the three of them. She also got three bonus hotel nights, which she didn't think she needed because she was going to be staying with her daughter. But after the wedding, they ended up, her daughter's wedding, I think, was like an hour outside of Amsterdam. But then afterwards, they just went into the city for a few days and acted like tourists and got to do a lot of stuff with not very many tourists because the country had just reopened. So she was thrilled. And she said to me numerous times, I never would have thought to combine it like that to try and get savings. So that's something that as a travel agent, I do quite often. I kind of know the consolidators that have the best pricing for different destinations. And I'm so, you know, if a client comes to me and they say they just want airfare, I still might go and look at a consolidator and package it with hotel, knowing that it's probably going to end up saving them on an international trip anyways.
I love it. I want to back up a second though, because when you were talking about the best trip that you had put together, you had said that you put some of your favorite spots to go. Now, Kim, I watch you on social media and I know you go to a lot of different places. And I really think that that's advantageous because you're not just telling me something out of a brochure that you've read. You've actually experienced a lot of different things. And I think that brings validity to what, I mean, the services that you just said, the money that you just saved that woman and the things that you have done behind the scenes, that's tremendous customer service. But I think adding that extra value piece that you've been there is huge. When you've traveled, you already talked about your favorite places to go, but what have been some of your favorite experiences?
Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. I wanted to address something that you said before I answer the question about favorite experiences. You know, like any other industry, I say this about photography a lot, I say it about photography. Anybody with a camera can call themselves a photographer, right? So anybody with an internet connection can call themselves a travel agent. Obviously, there are people who have the experience and the skill set and the travel experience, which I do think is really important. And so, yes, I enjoy travel. I'm passionate about travel. I feel very fortunate that I am a person who gets to work in the industry that I feel passionate about. I know not everybody does. You know, when I'm traveling to scope out different destinations or resorts or whatever it is a lot of work. And I think that I post on social media only the good things, you know, and you don't see the travel hiccups and things like that. And I know that's just part of the territory. But so traveling to these destinations, yes, I enjoy it. Yes, I love it. I always say I'd rather be traveling than sitting at my desk working. You know, I work all over the world, but visiting those destinations is so helpful to me and making recommendations to my clients. So as far as experiences go, there's a couple that come to mind in New Zealand and Australia, but New Zealand in particular just like has my heart. I love Australia. I lived there. I've got really good friends there, but New Zealand, I've done a lot of activities in. It's hard to pinpoint my favorite, but I watched my roommate go bungee jumping in New Zealand at the bridge in Queenstown in the South Island where bungee jumping started. Queenstown, New Zealand is the adventure capital of the world. So watching my roommate bungee jump off that bridge was a blast for me. And of course I recorded her. So that was fun. I'm not a thrill seeker myself, so I did not go bungee jumping, but I have done some other things in New Zealand that come to mind. I actually, the company that I worked for in Wellington did a tour to the seal colony on the coast. And that was the tour I worked for about 5 months when I lived in New Zealand. And so I was fortunate to get to do that tour a few times. And basically you took a four-wheel drive vehicle from the city out to the coast, about an hour drive to the seal colony. And then because New Zealand is a British colony, you know, real big into tea. So you would sit and have your morning tea and your muffin with the seal colony. And it was just a really great tour. And I was fortunate to do that a couple of times while I worked there. And it was great. I love wildlife. So being able to sit and have your morning tea with the seal was awesome. And then my other probably favorite activity of all time was when I was in Kenya. And really just any safari game drive experience is perfection for me. Again, I love animals. So I've now been fortunate to have been on safari about 5 times. So I have like my favorite safari experience, which is funny because yes, having the experience of going on safari numerous times is really helpful. And I can certainly, you know, say that I had a better experience in Kenya than I did in South Africa. But every day on safari is different. You never know where the animals are going to be, what you're going to see. So, you know, I certainly can make those recommendations, but it just depends on what the animals are doing that day.
I love it. I remember going to see my son in Florida, and we did a sunset dolphin tour. Well, it was an overcast day. There was not a single dolphin to be seen. And the guy went to say, at least you got a beautiful sun. And he turned around and there was no sunset. He was so disappointed. So I totally get what you're saying about depends on the animals, depends on the weather is what the experience you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So Kim, what are you excited about for your business coming up?
Yeah, we're hearing in the news a lot about this Delta variant right now, but for the most part, I'm not seeing it impact a whole lot yet. So I'm excited that, like I said earlier, a lot of my clients who have had to rebook once or twice over the past year are planning on upcoming travel. So I have some clients who are supposed to travel next month now, keeping my fingers crossed they get to, on a Greek Mediterranean cruise. This is the third time it will have been rebooked. Their first scheduled cruise was in April of 2020, and that didn't happen. And then we had rebooked it for the fall of 2020, which didn't happen. So it is now scheduled for next month, and I'm excited for them. They finally get to, fingers crossed, to get to take this trip. But I'm also seeing, you know, my business has shifted a lot over the past year. It used to be about 20% of my business was domestic travel pre-COVID. And I would say about 40% of my business now is domestic. So I am seeing a ton of Alaska and Hawaii and Arizona, a lot of domestic bookings that, you know, I kind of love that shift. I have nothing against domestic travel. It's just, I hear this all over the world. I've got friends in different countries, and we all sort of tend to keep our own country as like a, oh, I'll get to that later, a backup plan of sorts. And I think a silver lining of the pandemic is that people are sort of tackling their closer to home bucket list destinations, as opposed to, you know, planning a lot of the international stuff that's been closed down. So I'm seeing a lot of staycation type trips where people are doing road trips or traveling domestically within the US to those places that maybe would have been pushed off had the pandemic not happened. So I am excited for a lot of my clients that are getting to do some of their domestic travel bucket list items, and then also rebooking some international stuff that's been postponed a few times.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel, like not doing this anymore?
Such a great question. Yes, I have. Like I said earlier, I feel very fortunate that I get to work every day in the industry that I'm passionate about. I do love travel. But 2020 was tough. And I know that that is, I'm not alone in that. There were a lot of industries that were very greatly impacted. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, we're paid a commission, and we're paid that commission when people travel. So 2019, I spent hours and hours planning these great trips for 2020, and would have been paid on them had people traveled in 2020. But when all of those trips got canceled in 2020, not only did I not get paid for them, but I was working about three times as many hours on them to postpone them, to cancel them, to fight for refunds for them, to get extensions on travel credits, sitting on hold for 7 or 8 hours at a time. So yeah, there were days last year that I questioned what I was doing, because nobody, working for free is not sustainable for anybody long term, right? Like, even if you love what you do, which I do, you know, you have to pay the bills. And so, yeah, last year there were some days where I thought about leaving. And unfortunately, I have a lot of friends and colleagues who did end up leaving their travel jobs last year and finding something more steady and more sustainable for the time period. Ultimately, I got through it. You know, I knew that while COVID is probably here to stay, I knew that countries would reopen. I knew that the vaccine was coming. And with the vaccine, a lot of things were going to open back up. And I really have seen things over the last few months start to pick back up. I personally just came back from my first trip to Europe in over a year and a half last week. There are benefits to traveling now. You really can. Like, my trip to Europe last week was on a river cruise. the cruise held 112 passengers and there were 41 of us on board. So if you're willing to jump through the testing hoops and kind of take the assumed risks of traveling during a pandemic, there's also really good benefits and rewards. So I'm glad I didn't give up last year. There were times that I thought about it. There were some sleepless nights, but I think we're, for the most part, on the other side of it. And I'm glad I stuck it out.
We're glad you stuck it out as well. And you won an award last year.
I did. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, actually for the last 2 years. So I'm affiliated with a host agency that has about 6,000 agents across the US. And they publish a top agent list monthly and yearly. So in 2019, the list was top 75. And I made that list, which was exciting. And I have a trophy around here in my office somewhere, which, you know, when you work from home and you work for yourself, you don't always give yourself recognition. You know, you just go through the motions and keep getting stuff done. So I will admit that was nice to get. And then in 2020, I also, they increased it to a top 100 list as the agency grew a little bit actually last year. And I made that list as well. So yeah, that is sort of, you know, validating and kind of as we talked previous question as, you know, I considered throwing in a towel last year or had those sleepless nights where I kind of wondered, like, is this worth it? Is it sustainable? Getting that reward at the end of the year sort of, you know, validated, you know, my feelings and sticking in it. And so, yeah, so that's been really nice to get that sort of recognition. And I guess most importantly, more so than any award, even though it's sitting on my desk and I look at it every day and then it does bring me joy. They also have a retreat for their top agents. So in October of this year, I will be going on another river cruise actually because of my, you know, my top agent status with my host agency. So I'm most excited about that.
Wow, how exciting. Well, congratulations. And we do need to take that time to celebrate our wins, even though we work from home. Who do you turn to for support when you're, you know, the solopreneur, you're working from home? Where do you draw support from, Kim?
Yeah. Well, Lisa, over the last few months, I have not been in attendance, but your coaching group has been a huge resource for me, particularly during last year, when I was sort of at the standstill after all the cancellations had come through and nobody was booking travel. So your support group, Lisa, was fantastic. I am friends with a lot of the women in that group. And, you know, like I said, we're all from different industries, but, you know, every industry suffered in different ways last year. So being able to bounce ideas off of people who are entrepreneurs like myself or who work for small local businesses. And, you know, it's nice to get that fresh perspective because I also have a lot of people in the travel industry. I've got people in my host agency and agents in Grand Rapids that I'm friends with. And we bounce ideas off of each other too, but we're all in the industry, which is great in a lot of regards, but it's also nice to get that perspective from people who don't work in the industry, but you know, it's just a fresh perspective. So those have, your coaching group has been huge for me. And then also a lot of my friends in the industry, I meet a lot of agents on travel agent trips that I go on. And one of my favorite things on top of the destinations we're visiting and the resorts we're visiting is really to brainstorm with other agents about what's working for them, what's not working, different suppliers who have been really good to work with, things like that. So luckily I have a really, really great support network.
I love it. Thank you so much. And I'm glad you found value in that session, in those sessions that you were able to attend. So if you had a piece of advice for any of the other entrepreneurs, business people, you know, you talked about other industries, what would that piece of advice be?
Yes, this is not like rocket science. It is not something that you haven't heard before, but it took me a long time to wrap my head around this piece of advice, which is you cannot win them all. And I think that can be hard. I don't know if it's like more difficult for women in general, or if I'm just a woman who tends to take things personally. But you know, my business is kind of my baby at this moment in time. I've put a lot of time into it. It's not like most entrepreneurs know, you know, there's pros and cons. It is not a 9-to-5 job. It is a round the clock kind of venture. You're doing all aspects of the business. it took me a long time after I started Globetrotter Travel to realize that not everyone is my client. You know, everyone would, I would get new leads and, you know, I'd be able to book a lot of them, but some people are just going to, you know, book it elsewhere or decide not to go or whatever the situation is. And it took me a long time to make peace with that. So I think if you can really know that starting out and knowing that not everyone is your ideal client and you're not going to win them all. And that's okay. You know, some of the people that you don't win, that's a blessing in disguise. And so I think that while that's not, you know, like this nugget of great advice that you've never heard before, but it really made an impact. It made a difference for me when I finally, you know, accepted that you're not going to win them all.
I see you about town. I see you at lots of networking events. I know that actually after you're talking with us here today, you're speaking at the Lansing Women's Forum. So you are like the woman of the hour today. But so where do you get most of your clients? Is it mostly word of mouth? I mean, and it takes a while that you said you're 6 or 7 years in now. So I'm sure mm-hmm. that you've built up quite a nice referral base. Is that where most of your business comes from?
Yeah, I would say the majority of my clients are referrals from past guests or from people I've met networking, doing business with locally. I also get, I don't know, maybe 20% of my new leads from Facebook in particular. I'm not a great millennial because I don't love Facebook. I don't love Instagram. I do it for my business and I do notice Facebook in particular helping, but I do get a lot of new leads from Facebook as well. And so for me, it's sort of a chore, but I make a point to go in weekly, although I have been a little not great about this over the last few weeks. But generally, weekly, I go on Facebook and I'm involved in some different groups that I will advertise in. And probably each week when I take that time to do that, I can count, you know, 10 to 15 new leads that come in each week because they say, oh, I saw your post on Facebook. So it is definitely worth it for me to do that. I just don't always make the time to do it. But other than that, referrals from past guests and referrals from networking partners, you know, that I've met at different events and functions are the main sources of new business for me.
Yeah, I see people tag you all the time because, I mean, on social media and all these different groups, people say, do you know a travel agent or I'm trying to travel this trip or plan this trip, and people tag you all the time. So I'm really glad as a social media marketing agency, I'm glad that's working for you. That's amazing. But even more importantly, tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you, because now they know that it's not going to cost them extra money and it's probably going to save them money to work with you. They're going to want to get a hold of you. So tell our listeners how to get a hold of you.
Yes, absolutely. So first and foremost, you can visit us online, www.mymyglobetrottertravel.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at My Globetrotter Travel. And email, you can reach me via email, my name, Kim Barber, at myglobetrottertravel.com. And then lastly, call or text to 517-920-0465. So those are all great ways to get a hold of me. I generally say that you absolutely can reach out via phone, because I do spend a good portion of my day on hold. You're probably going to get a quicker response if we start via email, but I will always return your phone call as well. It just might take me a little bit longer.
And just for our listeners, of course, we'll put all the information in the show notes of this episode so you can find it there. So the last, there's two more questions we have for you. Is there anything that you are reading or listening to right now that you're drawing inspiration from, either as a business owner or a traveler or things like that, that you could recommend?
Yes, absolutely. I have really gotten into podcasts more recently, but one that I've been listening to pretty regularly is Travel Pulse. Travel Pulse is a travel media resource that is, I guess, particularly, I think if you work in the travel industry, you're more familiar with it. But I like Travel Pulse a lot because they have current information. They have, I think, what is pretty well unbiased information. And the podcasts, they do them weekly, and they're great because they're current issues. So I think the most recent episode, and I haven't listened to it yet, but I think that I saw that the title was something about, you know, current COVID measures to keep in mind while traveling. So of course, not everyone is comfortable traveling right now, but for those of us who are or are willing to take that risk, they have some really great advice. So Travel Pulse podcast is a great one that I listen to regularly.
And the last question before we wrap up, who should we talk to next? Because I know you know a lot of people.
I do. And I know that we know a lot of the same people, but I love Sarah Ghani. She did my headshot. She has been networking and really working her business a lot over the past year. And so she really focuses on branding photo shoots, personal branding shoots. And she's here in Lansing and she does a really great job. So I think she's fantastic. And she is really good about sharing tips and tricks for if you're taking your own photos, you know, angles to do and, you know, the best lighting and things like that. So she's fantastic. I also think Katie Crick from Cedar River Insurance is a really, really great resource, particularly when it comes to commercial insurance info. I know that I have leaned on her a few times over the past year with questions about my commercial insurance policy that they held at Cedar River. So those are two people that come to mind right away for people who would have some good things to chat about.
That's great advice. I do know her and she would be a great addition to our lineup. So thank you. And I look forward to meeting the photographer as well. Did she do your current headshot that you're using where you're in black and you're standing there looking very sassy with an awesome smile on your face?
I love that.
That's one of the best headshots of anybody I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
Really shows your personality. Yeah.
Thank you. I love that. Well, she gets all the credit because I am awkward and don't know what to do in pictures ever. Right. And she really makes it comfortable. And I know she's done, headshots for a lot of other people that we know. She's done some really, really great ones. Sarah's really fantastic. I like her a lot. I haven't known her too long, but she made the process so easy and comfortable. And she's great to work with.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I know you've got to run because you've got to do this all over again for another group. So we really appreciate your time here today. And we need to talk soon because I've got a couple trips coming up and I know you know about them. And I'm really excited to work with you again on that. And of course, hear about your Alaska cruise you're going on. So thank you so much for being here with us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's such a pleasure, Kim. I always enjoy our conversations and safe travels and happy travels to you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Yep. Have a great day, ladies. Make it an adventure.
Grab your passport and join Lisa and Amy as they interview a huge variety of today's professionals. You can discover Adventures in Business at ZediaMedia.com or find it at your favorite podcast source. If you'd like to be a guest at our show, we dare you to go to ZediaMedia.com. That's ZediaMedia.com and sign up.
Media production.